Well, we're turning back to 2 Kings chapter 6 and to the words of verse 16. We commence this section of the life of Elisha last Lord's Day. And I said then we'll come back to it again this morning, taking verse 16 as our text. The theme last Lord's Day and again this morning will be the fact that God's saints are in the majority. And this was a tremendous encouragement to Elisha, something he trusted in and rested in, even in this time of great trouble. He said to his servant, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." That's with our Bibles open there. Let's just pause for a word of prayer together, please. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us already. We bless Thee for the gathering in of tithes and offerings. And we ask, Lord, that Thou might bless this witness and Thy work in this part of the land. We pray for Thy blessing to be upon us now as we come, Lord, to Thy Word, that Thou wilt speak to our souls. We pray that every child of Thine might realize afresh that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And we pray, Lord, that our confidence and our faith might be strengthened in Christ, that we might grow in our knowledge of Him. We might learn what it is more and more to do what we have just been singing about, to trust and obey. Lord, answer prayer, put Thy word into my mouth, I ask of Thee, and fill me, O God, with Thy Spirit. I pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. When Paul reminded Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, he was stressing to him that if Timothy lived a faithful, honest, genuine, godly Christian life, he would find himself opposed and hindered by the devil. It was as if Paul was simply saying to this young minister of the gospel, faithfulness to God never goes unchallenged. Godliness will always be resisted. Holiness and Christian service will always be withstood. And he was emphasizing to his young son in the faith that those who live a Christian life and live as a Christian should live their lives will invariably find themselves the target of Satan's attack. If ever there was an Old Testament character who had first-hand experience of that very thing, it was Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 6. This man of God, and we have been tracing something of his life, this man of God had been an instrument in the hand of God for good. His service for God had been faithful. His ministry had been effective. He had been used numerous times to bring deliverance in the midst of certain death. He had shown time and time again that he was a man whom God had brought to the kingdom for such a particular time. And yet, due to his faithfulness, Elisha became the focus of a very carefully laid plan by his enemies. Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, a man who ought to have held Elisha in the highest esteem, was determined to stop him at all costs. As we noted last Lord's Day morning, he commenced a crusade against this prophet of God with the sole purpose of bringing his ministry to an end. He sent spies to discover where Elisha was. And when it was made clear that he was in Dothan, Ben-Hadad dispatched his horses and chariots and a great host of foot soldiers, and during the night hours that great company of fighting men came down and surrounded the man of God. Elisha was hemmed in on every side. There was no way of escape for him. Humanly speaking, his days as a free man, his days as a man enjoying liberty to exercise his ministry, seemed to be numbered. The enemy was poised to move against him. And as far as appearances were concerned, there wasn't a thing in the world Elisha could do about it. If I could use the phrase that's so often used in a circumstance like this, the odds were stacked against him. One man and his servant, surrounded by a multitude of armed, trained, disciplined, and ordered soldiers. To the casual observer, it was very simply the case the game was up. And that kind of situation where Elisha is surrounded by the enemy was enough to fill the strongest heart with the deepest fear. And when Elisha's servant became aware of the circumstances that they faced, that's exactly how he reacted. When this young man, and you have record of this in verse 15, when this young man went out in the early morning, and he saw the city surrounded by Syrian horses and chariots and soldiers right around the entire place, wherever he looked, whether he looked to the north or to the south or to the east or to the west, all he could see were the Syrian army waiting for Elisha. And as that young man surveyed the scene, a paralyzing fear gripped his soul. He knew instinctively that he and his master were overwhelmingly outnumbered by those Syrian soldiers. He knew instinctively that there was no way that they could escape from this mighty host. He considered the situation. And as far as that young servant was concerned, there was no hope. As far as he was concerned, there was no remedy, no solution. And all he could do was go to Elisha and cry in the words of verse 15, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" I don't think we need to read too much between the lines there to understand that that was really a cry of desperation. The young servant was at a loss as to what could be done. He believed firmly in his heart that the end had come for him and for his master, and he was in desperation. The young servant was convinced that the campaign against Elisha was going to end there right at that particular moment in time, and that God's man was going to be taken away as a defeated captive by the Syrian soldiers. And cold, helpless, intense fear filled his heart. And it was right at that moment, when that young servant was expressing the fear that gripped his soul, it was right at that moment that Elisha made one of the greatest statements of his entire life. Verse 16. "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Now I know and you know that there are numerous fear nots throughout the Word of God. I think this is one of the most impressive. I can understand the young servant's sense of alarm. I can appreciate, when I look at 2 Kings chapter 6, I can appreciate his dread, his fear, from an outward point of view. By all appearances, as things looked on the surface, the circumstances that Elisha and this servant faced were completely hopeless. And that's how the young man was viewing things, but that was not how Elisha viewed this particular event. This man of God, he seen something and he knew something that his young friend had not considered. The last Lord's Day we considered the campaign that was launched against Elisha. Back then I likened that campaign to the campaign launched against the Christian and against the Church of Christ. And let me emphasize something in connection with that campaign. Emphasize something from last Lord's Day, and it's this, that the attack upon the Church of Jesus Christ collectively and the attack upon the child of God individually is real. What Elisha faced here in 2 Kings chapter 6 was a very real thing in his life. He was surrounded by the enemy. Ben-Hadad was set on his destruction, and the attack upon the church is just as real.
The devil is set on our destruction. The devil is no friend to the believer. He plans, he plots, he schemes, he has his strategies for our spiritual downfall. The devil is determined, constantly determined, to hinder the work of God. He's constantly opposed to the witness of Jesus Christ. And the devil employs every means he can to do as much damage as he can to as many Christians as he can, as often as he can. The one who tempted Christ tempts us. And the one who desired to have the disciples and sift them and shake them and confound them tries the very same thing with us today. Believer, this is something we must never lose sight of. We are surrounded by an implacable foe, a campaign against us as the people of God. And we emphasized that last time, the campaign that was launched against Elisha. Today I want to move on, and I want to consider especially these words in verse 16. If one section deals with the fight against Elisha, then this section deals with the faith and the fortitude of Elisha. And it's those two things that I really want to focus in on this morning. Notice with me, first of all, following from last Lord's Day, when we thought about the campaign that was launched against the man of God, notice the confidence that was expressed by Elisha. Elisha was no fool. He knew why the Syrians had come to Dothan. He knew that they had surrounded this city in search of him. He knew that they had mustered their forces, they had planned their strategy, because he had been faithful to his God. Elisha knew why these soldiers were there. He knew why the horses and chariots were there. He knew why Ben-Hadad the king had ordered this campaign at this particular time. He knew all of that. And yet Elisha did not share his servant's fear. In fact, there's nothing here to indicate any kind of uneasiness in Elisha's heart. He showed no signs of anxiety. He wasn't in the least troubled by the presence or the position or the power of the Syrians. Rather, he was calm. And more than being calm, he was confident in this hour of danger. Look at verse 16. Mark what he says. He answered, as soon as the young servant said, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" He answered, verse 16, "Fear not." How do I explain that? In the midst of such fearful circumstances, in the midst of such depressing surroundings, how can this man of God simply say to his young servant, "Fear not"? Those are the words of a man walking by faith and not by sight. Had Elisha assessed the situation from a purely human point of view, he would undoubtedly have been overwhelmed by his predicament. But he was not judging things by feeble sense. There was another principle at work in Elisha's heart. And it was the principle of faith. He was not full of unbelief. He was not full of cowardice. He was not full of uncertainty or dread or fear. This man of God, surrounded by his enemies who are set on his destruction, was full of faith. In fact, I think if ever there was a time when faith outshone every other aspect of Elisha's ministry, it was here. The psalmist said in Psalm 112 and verse 7, "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord." And I think of Elisha was a man who had a motto text. He may well have taken that motto text at this time. "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord." His heart was fixed and firm in God. You'll notice here that Elisha believed that God was still for him and God was still with him. When Elisha said, "Fear not," in verse 16, he wasn't expressing some kind of self-confident spirit. This was not the boast of a proud or self-sufficient man, or the words of somebody who thought themselves to be invincible because of what they had done or what they could accomplish by themselves. Elisha's confidence rested on the fact that he knew God. And he knew that God had not forsaken him. Look at verse 16. He says, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." What was he speaking of? He's speaking there of the host of the Lord. Look at verse 17. Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Those horses and chariots of fire belonged to the Lord. This was the Lord's army. This was a display of heavenly power, divine power. And it proved to Elisha in the midst of his trouble that God was with him. Humanly speaking, it was just Elisha and his servant pitted against the host of the Syrian army. But that was not the whole story. Aye, that wasn't even the true story. The Lord was with this man. The Lord was going to guard this man. The Lord was in control of this entire scene. The Lord was superintending the entire event. And the Syrian army, while they had camped around Elisha, beyond the Syrian army, and above the Syrian army, and more powerful than the Syrian army, the Lord had camped around him. And Elisha was safe. He knew that God had not forsaken him. He was aware, he was conscious, he was sure that God was his refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. Of course, he wasn't the first man to think that way. I think of Joshua and Caleb over there in Numbers chapter 14 when they came back from spying out the land of Israel those 40 days with the other spies. And the other 10 spies came back with their report and said, "Yes, it's a good land. It flows with milk and honey. There are olive yards and vineyards there. It's just as God has described it, but there are enemies there, and the walls are up to heaven, and the cities and the towns are well guarded, well defensed, and we cannot take that for ourselves." And as the congregation of Israel listened to those spies bring their report, their hearts just sank within them. There was anything but confidence, anything but faith, anything but an assurance of going on and taking the promises of God for themselves. Then Caleb and Joshua stepped in. For as those 10 spies were giving their report, the people were beginning to talk of going back to the land of Egypt. They had grown so discouraged and so weary that they wished they had died back there in bondage. Then Joshua and Caleb stepped forward. They stilled the people and they said, "The land which as we pass through to search is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land." There's the same kind of language. Do not be afraid. Fear not. Fear not the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. And in that momentous speech by Joshua and Caleb, there's the thought there of fear not. Why could they say that? Because they also acknowledge the Lord is with us. Isn't that what Elisha is saying here? Isn't that exactly the thing that inspires this man with confidence? God had not forsaken him. God was still with him. God has camped around him. God was a very present help in his time of trouble. I find Hezekiah, the king of Judah, saying something very similar in 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 7. When the Assyrian army had come and were poised to invade the land, Hezekiah comes with this statement. He says, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him." Mark the language. Do not be afraid nor dismayed. Why? Because while there is a host with him, there are more with us than be with that man. The Lord is for us. The Lord is with us. The Lord will fight for us. The Lord will defend us. And in the midst of that knowledge, he cries, "Fear not." He had fear because he knew that God was still for him and God was still with him. When Martin Luther was called to the Diet of Worms to answer charges that were laid against him by the Pope in the midst of the Reformation, his friends tried to persuade him to stay where he was. They argued with Luther and said, "If you go there, you're going to find yourself in trouble. You could well lose your life." And they tried to persuade the champion of the Reformation to stay where he was. This was Luther's response. "Although there should be as many devils there as tiles on the roof, I know and I'm certain that our Lord Jesus Christ still lives and rules. Therefore, I will not fear 10,000 popes, for he who is with me is greater than he who is with the world." And Luther went forward, confident that God was with him. And child of God, let that truth be a comfort to your soul. How often we feel overwhelmed by our circumstances. It seems at times that every enemy comes against us. It seems at times that we're faced with numerous temptations, that the evils and the wiles of the devil, there are problems and predicaments that we have no answer for. And sometimes we can feel ourselves overwhelmed and hemmed in without any possibility of escape, as it seems to us. Let's never forget this, that in all of those circumstances, God is with us and God is for us. I read in Psalm 34 and verse 7, words that undoubtedly were a great comfort to David as he writes this psalm, and ought to be a great comfort to us as well. He says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them." And that's something that ought to strike and encourage our hearts today. It ought to encourage the church of Jesus Christ in this hour. God has not forsaken his church. I know when you listen to the news or watch the news, you see sin just spreading out on every possible side. And it seems that wicked men are waxing worse and worse. Those who promote sin of every shade and every kind seem to grow bolder by the day. And the Church of Jesus Christ can feel itself to be in an impossible situation. Let's never forget this. God is still with his church. God is still for his church. He has not cast us off. Therefore, with Elisha, we can say, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Notice also with me here that Elisha's confidence in God led to effective prayer. A man of faith will always be a man of prayer. You can trace that thought throughout Scripture. Abraham was a man of faith. He was also a man of prayer. David was a man of faith. He also was a man who sought the Lord. Daniel was a man of faith. He's also noted as a man of prayer. No different with Elisha. Look at verse 16 and 17. He answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. When they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. That was the prayer of faith. Elisha was sure that God would answer his prayer. You'll note, of course, that there were two prayers there. One, that eyes might be opened, and the other, that eyes might be closed. Elisha was a man who knew that there was nothing too hard for the Lord. As he stands and surveys that scene, looks to his left hand and to his right hand and sees the army of Syria waiting to come down and take him as a captive, he has faith in God, and that faith in God translates itself into a prayer. Prayer that his young servant's eyes might be opened. And then when the enemy comes down, he prays that their eyes might be closed. And here's a man, and he has so much confidence in God that he doesn't hesitate to bring his needs to God in prayer. He prays that God would reveal things to one man and conceal things to another. His faith is strong. His prayer is simple. It's a prayer of faith. Isn't it remarkable that Elijah, Elisha's predecessor, was also a man of prayer and a man of faith? Remember what's said of him in James 5, 16 and 17, that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, yet he prayed and he prayed again. Why did Elijah pray for rain on the top of Carmel? For 3.5 years there had been no rain. For 3.5 years the land had been ravaged by a famine and by a drought. And now we find Elijah, the man of God, and he's on his knees with his face toward the ground. And he's crying for rain. Why? Because God had promised him he would send the showers of blessing. And Elijah, a man of faith, took hold of that promise of God. And he turned it into a prayer. And true faith in God will invariably lead to prayer. Have you ever asked yourself the question, why do some of God's people not pray? Why do some of God's people not seek God? Why is it that we, and this is true of every Christian, at some time or another in their life, why is it that sometimes we are weak in prayer? Why do we not leave our cares and concerns with Him? Doesn't He tell us to cast all our care upon Him, for He careth for us? Why are we so slow to do that? Ultimately, it's because of unbelief. Our own unbelief. Satan has managed to blind the minds of God's people to the power of God to answer prayer. That's why we don't carry everything to Him at the throne of grace. Because there's unbelief and we feel somehow or other the circumstances are too dark, the circumstances are too dire. God cannot help us here. God cannot move. God cannot intervene. God cannot bless us. God cannot give us deliverance in the midst of our trials and our distresses. And so we don't carry the matter to God in prayer. We ought to learn here from Elisha. This man of faith, this man who cries, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." This man then burst forth in prayer. And oh, that God would teach us what it is to pray. Believer, trust Him. And carry everything to Him in prayer. Let me say too that Elisha's confidence in God rested upon God's word. And Elisha's past experience. This was not the first time a saint of God had expressed such faith in trying circumstances. You turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 3 especially, and read there of David's experience. Psalm 3 and verse 6. You can read the whole psalm at some stage, but it's the morning hymn it's known as, and Psalm 4 is known as the evening hymn. But notice what David says in verse 6 of Psalm 3. "I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves round about me." Why does he say that? Because look at verse 5. "I laid me down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me." David's trust was in the Lord. And David was able to say in verse 6, "I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves round about me. I'll not be afraid of this. Because the Lord will sustain me." Look at Psalm 55 and verse 18. And these words suit Elisha's circumstances very well. "He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle." Psalm 55 verse 18. "He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me." But David's talking there not of his own men. For David just had 600 men, and that was those who were most faithful to him, most loyal to him. He's talking here about the hosts of the Lord. And he wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid in the midst of battle, for there were many with him. And undoubtedly, Elisha would have known something of David's experience, would have known something of the language of those Psalms. There were many with me. And now he finds himself in a similar circumstance. And what does he say? Fear not. For there be more with us than there be with them. His confidence rested upon God's word. Of course, Elisha had been delivered before. And I think of those children from Bethel coming out and mocking him and crying to him, "Go up, thou bald head." And that was not just some childish prank. It was a request that this man of God would disappear from their midst. And God preserved him. God kept him. God was a shield about him. God protected him. And Elisha knows from Scripture, he knows from past experience, that God does not fail. And believer, we should hold on to that. How can your faith be increased? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How often David talks in the Psalms of events in the past, and then he says, "Therefore will I trust thee." And he reminds himself of what God has done on a previous occasion. He reminds himself of the promises of God, of the assurances of God, of the covenant of God. And David rested in God's word and what God had done by his work in the past. And Christian, we ought to do the same. Why is our faith so weak? Sometimes because it's our knowledge of God's word is so poor. And our grasp of God's promises is so feeble. We lose out in our faith with God. Here's a key thing in this passage. Elisha was fearless because he had faith in the Lord. There is an amazing verse in Isaiah 37, verse 22. The nation of Israel were again facing troublesome times. Sennacherib had come and threatened them. And we find in Isaiah 37 verse 22 that the people of Zion just shake their heads at Sennacherib's threats. It's as if they're not troubled by them. And the reason why they're able to shake their heads at Sennacherib's threats was because of their faith in God. C.H. Spurgeon in his morning and evening devotion recently commented on that verse of Scripture. He had this to say: strong faith enables the servants of God to look with calm contempt upon their most haughty enemies. We know that our enemies are attempting impossibilities. Christian, we need to learn this. When we are surrounded by enemies, surrounded by the devil, surrounded by sin and surrounded by temptation, surrounded by circumstances that we can't really understand, we need to learn something very important here, and it is that we need to walk by faith and not by sight. Elisha did not assess the situation as his young servant had done. He rested in the all-sovereign, all-powerful presence of his God. And that's something we must cultivate. How often, and I speak personally here, and I suppose I speak for most, if not all, believers in this meeting, how often we are alarmed and anxious by what we see around us. We see a world that's increasingly godless and graceless. We watch forces and powers at work, and that in the most sinful and sensual way. We see the gospel despised and discarded. We see Christ rejected and refused. We see a tide, an absolute torrent of sin sweeping over our nation, and the very worst kinds of vices are gloried in and promoted. And it seems on the surface that all this is against us. And we can almost get to the point where we think the cause is hopeless.
We can almost get to the point where we think the work is doomed and the gospel is lost, and we feel like saying with Elisha's servant, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" Or if I could paraphrase that without changing the sense of the words at all, we almost feel like saying, "What on earth are we going to do?" How often has that not been our cry? What's happening in this world? What's happening in our province? What's happening in our nation? Let's never lose sight of the fact that our God is in control. We often make our assessments by what we see. We need to walk more by faith. Elisha was not overcome by what he saw, because he saw his God as the all-present and all-powerful one. And believer, we must be the same. Amid all the chaos, humanly speaking, of this world, amid all the corruption, all the sin, all the wickedness, all the rebellion, all the anarchy, all the lawlessness that seems to be prevailing in the world, there's a God in heaven who is in control of all things. And greater is He that is in us, this God of heaven, than he that is in the world. No wonder the hymn writer took up that theme and said, "When you feel weakest, and dangers surround, and subtle temptations and troubles abound, nothing seems hopeful, nothing seems glad, all is despairing, even times sad, keep on believing. Jesus is near. Keep on believing. There's nothing to fear. Faith in the night as well as the day. Confidence. Here's a man, he's under attack by the enemy. There's a crusade, a campaign against him. And he says, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." The campaign was launched against Elisha. The confidence that was expressed by Elisha. Notice, lastly, the courage that was demonstrated by this man. Elisha's faith led to fortitude. Look at verse 17. He prays, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes," and that's speaking about the young man, "that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. When they came down to him, that's how verse 18 opens. Now those words refer to the Syrian army. And as I read this chapter, I take it that when the servant cried, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" that Elisha came out and he surveyed this whole scene. There are these two men standing there in Dothan. And on every possible side of them, the Syrian army is looking down upon them. Every Syrian eye around that city was fixed upon Elisha and his servant. And then they came down. They came down to him. And when they came down, what did Elisha do? He stood firm. He didn't move. He just prays again. And he prays in verse 18 that God would smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And the Lord smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. What power that man had in prayer. As soon as he prays, he has the answer. His prayer is not long. It's not a complicated request. It's just a simple prayer. And the host of the Syrians are coming down to this man of God, and he just lifts his voice and he prays, "Lord, smite this people with blindness." And he doesn't move. He's willing to face the foe. Nothing moved this man of God. You see a similar thing in the life of the Hebrew children in Babylon. They knew they were facing that furnace of fire, but nothing moved them.
they were going to stand for God. I find the same of Daniel. He knows the writing has been signed by the king that if a man prays to God for 30 days, he's going to be cast into the den of lions. But nothing moves Daniel. He still goes and he prays. I see Peter in Acts chapter 12. He's in prison. Herod has killed his brother James with the sword and he's now arrested Peter. And Peter's awaiting the same fate, humanly speaking. And it's Herod's intention after Easter to bring him out and put him to death. And what is Peter doing? He's lying, sleeping, unconcerned. Faith in God left these men unmoved. And Elisha was not moved by the threat posed by the enemy. He wasn't forced into a change of position. He didn't feel there was a need to change direction. He wasn't willing to move for these men. He courageously waited with the power of God evidently upon him. And he knew that God would deal with those men. Elisha knew that God was in control and that the victory would be his. Believer, Satan wants us to move. He wants to have the victory over us. He wants to destroy us. He wants to ruin our testimonies. He wants to cause our Christian lives to be ineffective and useless and smashed and shipwrecked. And he will succeed unless we stand fast. Trust in God and walk with him. He can't rob us of salvation, but he can leave us in such a way that our service for God is ruined. Elisha trusted God. He left this whole issue with the Lord, confident and courageous in the presence of his enemy. I can't help but think that Elisha had his eyes more upon God than he had upon the Syrians. Believer, that's the way it ought to be. We ought to have our eye upon the Lord more than upon any enemy that comes our way. Far better to trust in God and do the right, confidently, courageously, trusting him. For greater, as John tells us in 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The child of God is in the majority. I know sometimes it doesn't look that way, and sometimes for us it doesn't feel that way. We see the rise of Islam, we see the rise of this cult and that cult and the power of this sect and that sect, and we think, well, Christianity has just been squeezed and the life been sucked out of it. But greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Maybe this morning you're facing some personal trial, some personal trouble, and the devil comes along and cries, ah, God has forgotten you. Where is now thy God? And you're filled with fear. You don't know what the future holds. You don't know what lies around the corner. You don't know where to turn, what to do, what to think, what to say, who to turn to. Believer, fear not. For the one who is with you is greater than he that is in the world. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And may God give us the grace to have our hearts and our minds and our souls fixed upon him, that we'll not be afraid in the day of evil tidings. Our hearts are fixed on the Lord. May God bless his word to us for Jesus' sake. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for thy presence with us. We pray, Lord, that thou would write thy word upon our souls. Teach us to trust thee, Lord.
We know that God moves in mysterious ways His wonders to perform. There are times, Lord, when the bud has a bitter taste. We can't understand why events happen. We can't understand why circumstances change. We can't figure it out with our own finite minds. But our Father, we pray that when we cannot trace Thy hand, that we might trust Thee. We think of Elisha's calm confidence, and he doesn't at once or at any time complain against his circumstances or complain against his God. He just simply trusts. Lord, teach us to trust in every circumstance, we pray. Lord, put Thy hand upon us. Write Thy word upon our souls, that it might be of benefit to us in days to come. And Lord, help us to grow in our faith and in our knowledge of Christ. And now part us with Thy blessing, with Thy fear, and with Thy favor. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.